Lord Jesus Christ, and also identifies him with his church. And so as the believer gets baptized and joins the local church, they have access not only to the things and the fellowship here and right standing, but here the scripture is going to talk about the Lord's Supper being something that was instituted by the Lord Jesus to his church in the upper room as they gathered together and his disciples there. And as he institutes the Lord's Supper, and we'll practice that tonight, he tells them to do that in remembrance of me. But in 1 Corinthians, the Lord's Supper that had been practiced by the Lord and had been instituted for the church was being abused. And so the church there was coming together, and much we have a Christian school that has uniforms, and we do that to uphold a standard. And we do that to have order and to do everything decently and in order. And the Lord's Supper was no different. We find that as Paul writes under the inspiration of God and tries to give some correction to the church at Corinth, he's speaking to them about some things they were doing where they were not doing that in fellowship. They weren't taking of the elements together. They were abusing that. They were bringing their picnic lunch to the grounds and calling it the Lord's Supper and having something that was, and just really, if I could say it this way, they were taking something that was sacred and given to the church to think about Christ and remember him. And they were making it a thing of eating and shaming others who didn't have the same amount of food with them. It would be, if you could picture it that way, somebody bringing chicken and somebody else had, you know, boiled peanuts. I mean, that's kind of what was going on. And just those two things in contrast. And he's going to say some things here in the scripture that are just going to help us to understand that everything that's done in the church should be done decently in order. And again, here, as we come together for the Lord's Supper, we do that in remembrance. I hesitate to say this, but I want you to be able to picture in your mind, the church should take this time. If this was a business and you work a business, you know, businesses take time for quality control. All right. That means they talk about safety. They talk about taking a look at your practices and what goes on. And the Lord's Supper for his church is much like that. It's a time for not the church to examine what's going wrong in the church, but for the believer to examine himself and to realize and to take account for themselves and say, let me think about where I am. And where I am with my brother, am I right with my brother? Am I doing right? Am I walking with the Lord like I've always walked with him? Do I have aught against my brother? So look at the scripture with me tonight. We'll begin in verse number 20. He says, when we come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, again, I have to stop and I must hasten my time tonight for all that we want to get in tonight. But let me just say this, there are places that believe that the Lord's Supper should be practiced every time the church comes together. And this scripture teaches us the exact opposite. This is something that should be sacred. It should not be something that comes all the time and every week so that we get used to it. This should be a thing that is done decently and in order, in an orderly fashion, and done in a way that we realize this is a special event. And that every time we come, we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's Resurrection Sunday, every Sunday for his church. But it's not every time that we gather together that it is time to have the Lord's Supper. When we come together in the Lord's Supper, we do that decently in order. We do that to remember the Lord, but we don't do it as the Corinthian church practiced. Look at what he says to him in verse 21. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. So Paul, again, is writing to them under the inspiration of God, and he's saying, this isn't a good practice. I'm not going to praise you for what you're doing. I'm shaming you. You're shaming other people in the church. The church is a body of Christ that comes together in fellowship, and here they weren't fellowshipping. One was taken when another one wasn't. Tonight, you'll see that very carefully, and I hope that you'll practice this with us. When the parts are handed out, the elements, the bread that represents the body and the juice that will represent the blood of Jesus Christ. Those things are, we wait for each other and we partake together as a part of the Lord's church. The men in leadership will sit on the same floor because the ground is level at the cross. Every one of us are standing before the Lord. It's not just the preacher standing in your place. This is a time for you to examine yourself. Several people have asked me about whether they should take it or they shouldn't take it, and I'll be happy with you to talk with you on an individual basis as we have, but this is a time for you to really examine yourself and between you and the Holy Spirit of God and realize if there's something between you and someone else or something between you and God. And I beg you tonight, as we go through the scripture, make sure that you get that right before you take it. This is serious business. It's not something that happens haphazardly. Look, if you in verse 23, it says, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Verse 25 says, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat and drink this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." We remember the sacrifice that was made on Calvary when we take the Lord's Supper. When we get baptized, we identify with the Lord's church and his death, burial, and resurrection. We identify with him. We come to a place where we're saying, "I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to join his church." And if I could say it like this, we start our journey as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ in following him. We've accepted him, and we begin a fellowship of the Lord. But beyond this, this is one of those things for us. In verse 26, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." It is, we don't have a lot of crosses hanging everywhere, and we definitely don't put Jesus on the cross, but because he's not. He's seated at the right hand of God. But it's good for the church to remember what Christ did and what he has suffered to pay for your sin debt and my sin debt. It is good for us to examine ourselves and realize the cost that had to come from heaven and die on a cruel, rugged cross. The thorns on his head, and again, we could go through the nails in his hand, all the things that Jesus suffered, and beyond that, as I've said before, a separation that happened from his Holy Father and the Holy Son and the Holy Spirit of God. They had to separate at that moment. And as much torture as he felt during that time, there was a torture of separation of a holy God from the triune God that had never been separated before. And he did that to pay for our sin debt. And for us, we must remember, and if I could say it like this, reverence the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm thankful we don't have to leave him in the grave like so many others. We don't serve, we honor him in that. We remember his death and realize it doesn't stop there. It says until he come, because we serve a risen Savior who is coming back to get us, but we need to be reverential and realize the cost that it took for you and I to be redeemed. We need to realize the payment that was made. It was a payment I couldn't make and a payment you couldn't make. And we have to remember that, because sometimes if we're not careful as church members, as Bible believers, we get to a place where we just get haphazard about our salvation. And we think we can live like the world. We think we can walk like the world. We think we can do. We think that grace is such liberty that we can just go out and sin and live how we want. But it is for sure the Lord's Supper. And when you're a part of the Lord's church, when you come to tonight and you come to a place where you examine yourself, you ought to examine where you're living. And you ought to see that the Bible has a way to line up with it. And this Bible is going to tell us that when we examine ourselves, look at verse 27. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." This is not speaking. This is not given. He's not talking to the lost world. When that terminology that is used there, that sleep, That's not used for the lost man. All right, here he talks to the Christian and says that we're not supposed to take this unworthily. We're supposed to examine ourselves. And just like 1 John 1:9 says, we're supposed to keep short accounts. He's just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we'll just come to him. If we'll walk before him tonight and say, hey, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. As we talked about this morning, humbling ourselves as a little child. Boy, that sometimes in our lives, when was the last time you really humbled yourself before God and came to him and just said, God, I'm not right with you. God, I'm not walking with you like I ought to walk with you. You say, well, I'm not out of fellowship with him. Again, I beg you tonight, don't just take the Lord's Supper haphazardly. Evaluate yourself when we take the time as a church to bow our heads and our heart before the Lord. Make sure that you don't take this as something that this is a ritual. This is not a ritual. This is an ordinance of the Lord's church. This is something we do in remembrance of the death of our Savior. And again, we can celebrate in victory his resurrection, but this is a time for us to remember the pain, suffering, and the death that Jesus experienced in my place and in your place. He goes on and he says here, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Tonight you have the opportunity to take the Lord's Supper or to not take it. Not to be judged of men. You say, well, what if one of the deacons or the ushers that pass it down my row, what are they going to think? What's the brother or sister in Christ sitting with me tonight going to think if I don't receive the Lord's Supper? Well, that's their problem. You can't examine them. You're supposed to examine yourself. And if you find yourself where you can't get that right, maybe the brother you need to go to isn't in the building tonight, and you feel like you need to get that right, then I ask you to hesitate from taking the Lord's Supper. Make sure you're walking in close fellowship with the Lord, and don't take it unworthily. My job as your pastor is to warn you not to do something that'll make you weak, as the scriptures say, or sickly, because you took it to be seen of men. Tonight, this is about you and your Lord. This is about you and your walk with him. This isn't about the person down the row or the person passing out the elements down the aisle. This is about you examining yourself and making sure you're right with the holy God and not taking his body and blood that we're going to, and again, and as a cracker and juice, all right, not in a Catholic way where we're trying to take it as transubstantiation. No one's going to pray hocus pocus over it tonight. And it's not turning actually into the body. It represents the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. All right. Salvation comes by us trusting in Jesus Christ, not by eating these elements. Tonight, I beg you tonight to examine yourself. We're going to have a moment for you to do that. I'm going to ask the pianist to come. We'll not have any singing tonight. If you do need to come and be saved, we'd be happy to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. But I believe most people in the room tonight are believers on their way to heaven. But if you're not sure of that, then definitely don't take the Lord's Supper until you receive Jesus Christ. And I'll be happy to take a Bible and show you how to do that. But tonight, if you would just bow your head and your heart before the Lord, if you'd stand to your feet tonight as we do that, if you would like to use the altar, we're going to make that available to you. As the piano plays, you step out and come and do business with God. Examine yourself. Ladies and men tonight, saved believers, step out and be examined of the Lord tonight. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. I hope you did whatever God asked you to do, and whatever decision you made tonight, I pray that you'll, again, be in an attitude of prayer tonight. We are going to do a little bit different tonight, and normally we would have the men come at this time, but we have some folks upstairs. I think we're going to need to sing a song. So we have some folks going to get baptized. Azariah has come and been saved just a few weeks ago and wants to join the church through baptism, amen, and identify with Christ, and we did not want to hold him. That's Azariah Vercellus, and so we need to vote as a church. They're getting changed already, and so if I could see your right hand to welcome into fellowship, praise the Lord. And so, Brother Bert, you lead us in something as they get ready for baptism.
All right, 419, be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Amen. 419. On the first verse now. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take
acceptance of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, in obedience to His command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, bear in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection, to walk in newness of life.
Amen. That's a blessing, amen. And you say, well, why'd you stick that in the middle? Well, I didn't want to withhold the Lord's Supper from anybody, especially Azariah. Amen. And so we're going to sing a couple more hymns as we wait for them to get changed and get back downstairs. And so if you'll open your hymn books back up, lead us in a couple more.
Okay, we'll do the same song. We'll just sing a couple more verses of it, all right? 419, in case you forgot. 419, on the second verse together.
Through days of and heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day. Every day.
Amen. What a comfort. Amen.
All right. Tonight we're going to be turning to Matthew, the book of Matthew in verse 26. So I ask the men to come now that are going to help us serve out the Lord's Supper to come and take your places. And here again, I'll remind you the setting is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's about to go to the cross and suffer all the things that this will depict. Tonight we'll see his body that was broken for us and his blood that was shed on Calvary. And he's there, and just before he's betrayed and Judas steps out, we're going to read the verses tonight. And so if you want to be there in Matthew 26 and in verse 26, we'll begin tonight, but we're going to take our place down here with the men. We've said much about the Lord's Supper already, but first, the Lord here, as he's just before he goes to the cross and already knows what's about to happen to him and knows how his body will be broken, he institutes what we call the Lord's Supper, and he begins with his body in verse 26, and he says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. Now tonight I'm going to have one of our deacons pray over the element of the body, and then they will uncover and then they'll pass out. And I pray again, we ask you to wait, take it, and stay in an attitude of prayer tonight for both elements, and reflect on what Jesus has done for you. Amen. All the things that he's done for your life, but really focus on the payment that he made on Calvary tonight. All right. Brother Vic, will you come and pray for us, sir?
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight for the opportunity, the privilege we have to be in this special service where we can honor and commemorate the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we would ask your blessings on this element representing his broken and bruised body. And Lord, as we look to the resurrection, we thank you, Lord, that you fulfilled God's plan to redeem the lost souls of mankind. We just pray that you'll receive the honor and glory tonight for all that's done. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
The Bible says in verse 27, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He says, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in the Father's kingdom. The Lord gives us a wonderful promise there, but they did give thanks, and we'll also give thanks. We'll ask Randy Smith to come do that for the Lord's blood.
Dear God, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth to give his life for us to have eternal life. Bless this cup as we take it in remembrance of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Bible says in verse 30 of Matthew chapter 26, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. We can't go out into the Mount of Olives tonight, but we can sing a hymn together as a church. Amen. So let's stand to our feet. We'll ask Miss Johnson to take the piano again. And Brother Burt, you lead us in a hymn, and then we'll close out in prayer tonight.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. We'll sing the first and the last verses. I think you need it. You know it without your hymn books. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Let's pray together. Dear God, as we come to you tonight, Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made of yourself upon Calvary, Lord. I thank you for the body that was pure, Lord, that you gave for us, and the blood that was pure. Lord, how you paid our payment. Lord, I thank you for how you've given us a life that we not only can live here on earth, Lord, but we can live an abundant life in Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for our church. I pray you'd bless it, Lord, as we enter this last part of our school year. We pray that you'd bless our school and our ministries, Lord, our day school, our college, the curriculum, Lord, all the things that are going to go on. Bless each home, Lord, that's represented in the building tonight, and those that were not able to make it, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to walk in a closer fellowship because of the way we examined ourselves, Lord, and the way that we got ourselves closer to you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for all that you'll do and all that you have done. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you for being here. Sorry.